Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. Today we're going to be talking about entrepreneurs. We're going to be talking about the people that are not afraid to take risks. People that are willing to step into the unknown to make things happen. Are you one of those? Well, I know you're going to enjoy my guest, Cindy Thompson. A cup of cappuccino for the entrepreneur's soul. Welcome to the show, Cindy.
Thank you very much, Donna, for having me. I'm very excited to talk about entrepreneurship with you today.
Well, I'll tell you what. Having been in that environment myself, having a husband that has been very much of that spirit, it is something that I think in our world today, especially with all of the upheavals that are going on, that it's so important that we recognize that it's still out there. We can still make things happen. Now, Cindy, I'd love for you to tell my audience a little bit about your background, because you're a woman that did quite a bit of research for this book. How many people did you talk to put this book together?
Well, there are 55 stories in the book. They're all short personal stories from the entrepreneur's point of view. And so they really give the readers a chance to, you know, relate to different backgrounds, different circumstances. You know, there might be somebody that had worked at a company and thought they were doing fantastic and got laid off, which I know is something a lot of listeners could probably relate to. And it kind of forced their hand and, you know, pushed them into entrepreneurship. And in some cases, then, there were people who have been serial entrepreneurs since they were children. So it's a really good wide variety of stories, including eco-entrepreneurs, social entrepreneurs, and just giving people kind of some hope and people that they can relate to and see how they did it and make people realize they could do it, too.
Well, we know of some real, you know, there's so many people that have received press, like the Ben and Jerry that did the ice cream, and then you have all, you've got the guy that founded Starbucks, you have so many people that have done so many things throughout the years, and those are some of the highlighters that often we relate to when we think of entrepreneurs, but there's a lot of Joes and Janes out there that
mm-hmm.
maybe don't get a lot of publicity, that have dared to go into arenas that they had not even thought they would ever touch upon. What was your favorite
exactly.
story relating to someone like that? That's just,
yeah,
you know, just a person that's going to be out there saying, you know what, just what you said earlier, I'm sick and tired of this particular rat race. I want to do something that's different.
And I think that's the exciting thing, because this, you know, these stories have happened at so many different places in different people's lives. And I guess the first story is one of my favorites, and it was somebody who did not expect to ever be an entrepreneur. And he had, you know, it was a problem that he had early hair loss and didn't like using a regular razor. And so he came up with a design called a head blade. And he designed it himself, and then he thought, oh, I've got it made now. I'll sell this to Schick or Gillette. And he basically got thanks but no thanks from them. And he thought about it and said, well, I know this works for me. I know there's lots of other people that have this issue like me. I don't want to see this on the store shelves by somebody else in a few years. And so he went ahead and developed the product. And it wasn't overnight that it became a success. He put them in his backpack and for several years went around and, you know, tried to sell them. And eventually they caught on, and now he's a huge success. But it was his perseverance and his belief that he did have a product that would make it. And and he kind of came up with a problem that he had and realized that if he liked the solution, there were lots of other people out there that would need it too. And I think there's lots of those things in people's daily lives that they might think, wouldn't this be a great idea? But they don't then do anything with it. And I think it's stories like these that encourage people to, you know, take a look at their own lives, and maybe that story might resonate with somebody, you know, and encourage them to pursue their ideas.
You have a story about the man that founded a very unique ice cream company.
Yes, Dipping Dots.
Dipping Dots. I wanted to call them Dippity Dots, but it's Dipping Dots. Tell us the story behind that, because I can remember when it first came out, and I thought, that is the strangest thing I've ever seen in my life. These little round things of ice cream, but they were amazing. That's an incredible story.
Yes, and he is a really interesting entrepreneur. He just, we've been doing entrepreneur panels across the country, and we were just in Chicago for Money Smart Week that was sponsored by the Federal Reserve, and he was one of the panelists there. And he is very interesting. He grew up in Illinois on a farm, and a lot of people, you know, have grown up on farms and have experience, or, you know, growing up working hard and learning to solve problems. And so he always knew, you know, problem solving was something that was, you know, very, very important. And he went to school in Illinois, and he actually went to work at a prison. And he was an instructor researcher for an ethanol production program. And it was looking at ways to utilize carbon dioxide and other byproducts and stuff. And so he had done a bunch of research, and it was on, you know, freezing things. And his family really enjoyed making homemade ice cream. And so he decided to start playing around with that, and he would freeze it using liquid nitrogen, and then realized that they would really stay very creamy when you would put them in your mouth. And so they started selling them, and then eventually this became Dipping Dots. And he, you know, now has won Entrepreneur of the Year several times. He's always been at the top of the franchise list. And it was really interesting. At our event, they debuted their new coffee product, and it's going to end up being sold through Costco, where they take espresso and do the same thing with it, and it's really delicious. So he has a really interesting story.
Now, in your cup of cappuccino for the entrepreneur's soul, you talk about a number of different arenas, and one's the social arena. There is also the eco arena.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're talking about this, in today's world, the ecology factor has really become a very, very big issue, because we are very much aware, in most instances, that we have gotten to a point where we're really poisoning ourselves, and we need to really think about what we do. So whether it's products for cleaning a roof, for a deck, you know, washing clothes, all kinds of various things, we have all of these questions that now are being posed to people that are in the business of making various products for us as individuals. Is it environmentally safe? When you were doing your research with entrepreneurs, did you find that this area is exploding with people that have new concepts?
Oh, yes. You know, they say that that is one of the hottest sectors right now for entrepreneurs. And, you know, so I think that that is, if people have ideas or they're interested in those areas, I think there's lots of opportunities. And I think another big thing that, you know, sometimes might hold people back is they think, gosh, we're in a recession. Times are kind of bad. Is that the best time to start out, you know, possibly with a new venture or business idea? And, you know, really it's the best time. Business startups are the highest level they've been in 14 years right now. Most of the Fortune 500 companies started during recessionary times. So it may not at first seem logical, but the recessionary times are actually good times for people to start businesses.
I think historically that has been true. Whenever you mm-hmm. look at history, you find that often during what appears to be the darkest times, that's when the human ingenuity really rises to the surface. And when it comes to dealing with water treatment, when it comes to dealing, again, with various products, which one in your book did you feel was your favorite when you were doing this research?
Well, you know, on different levels, a lot of different ones would always kind of rise to the top. One that I really enjoyed personally was Maggie Miller, and she had a great job. She decided that she needed to go see her life with different eyes, sold everything she had, felt like she was kind of guided and led to Peru. And she spent a lot of time asking women, what do you need, you know, what would help you, and realized that, you know, they were looking for education and a hand up. And she created a social, you know, entrepreneur foundation to do microloans for women in Peru. And, you know, I really liked that she kind of stepped out of her comfort zone and went to kind of find herself and went and asked what mm-hmm. people needed, and then is working to help women because, you know, women around the world, and especially women entrepreneurs, are really going to be able to pull their countries out of issues. And even in our own country, women now are starting businesses at a faster rate than men. And
yes, in fact, it's over 50%, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
52% of the new entrepreneurs are women.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. So it's amazing how women are stepping up to the plate. But you make a couple of points about what Maggie did.
Mm-hmm.
Maggie asked questions, and instead of saying, I know what's better for you, she was asking questions of the women themselves.
Yes.
And when you're in particular environments, in world environments, depending on when you're, I was just watching something about Ethiopia not too long ago, and these are women whose worlds are so narrow that to be able to get what you called a hand up with someone like Maggie, I think of the gentleman that started the Greenbaum, you know, bank mm-hmm. and started the same kind of thing in Bangladesh. And that has turned around economic situations there in a phenomenal way. And the first thing that women do is they want their children educated. They want them to know that they have other options. And so it's very important that we be aware of that, that whatever we do, we are going to be able to have an influence on someone somewhere that will empower them to realize that they have the opportunity, should they want to take it, to have equal time, equal chance. That they have to work for it isn't going to bother most people, but they are going to have the right to that. Now, with Maggie, how large has her organization become?
I am thinking she's based here in Austin, Texas, and I think she's got a pretty good organization. I can't remember offhand how much money she's at now on the funding. But the great thing about microloans is, you know, once they're paid off, it just repeats and repeats. So mm-hmm. as she's growing the pool of money, you know, that's just not going out and then stopping. These women are fantastic. I know that they had 100% repayment rate. And mm-hmm. that seems to be the case in helping women in these, especially in developing countries, that there's a high rate of, you know, these loans getting repaid. And so then that money just goes back out into the communities to help women again and again and again. And, you know, with Maggie, I think definitely the asking is important. And as far as entrepreneurs, I'll go back to that in a minute, but also then definitely listening, that sometimes we aren't telling people, like you said, you know, but we're also really listening. And even if you're an entrepreneur that has a product and you're checking it out with people, that you aren't just telling them how great that your product is, you're listening to what their response is back, so you maybe know how to, you know, to change it or adjust it. But also just the whole asking thing, and One thing, I'm also involved with a women entrepreneur program here in Austin called Activate, and it's to help try to, you know, create more women entrepreneurs. But one thing that they say that women have a little bit harder time with sometimes is asking. And that's so important for all entrepreneurs because there's so many resources and so many people who want to help, and it's really important to go ask if you mm-hmm. don't know or if you need help to ask.
You bring up a point, I think, that it's a very good one. So many times people have been brought up in environments where they're told, have a stiff upper lip, take all the responsibility on your shoulders, but don't go around and tell people if you're having problems.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that I feel is so detrimental, because whether you're male or female, it doesn't make any difference. If you can have the support of mentors, people that have gone the route of experience, it may not be the same route you're going to take, but you know that you have some kind of support there, and if you do need help, they may know someone that can assist you with what you need to know. And I find that among entrepreneurs, now there may be exceptions to this, but I find among most entrepreneurs that they have such a strong sense of ethics that they really want to be able to, let's say, have something that anyone that participates in the environment with them is going to have a sense of pride about. And when you did this, I know discipline's important, perseverance is important, hanging through the tough times is important, asking questions is important. But what was one of the primary threads that was consistent with entrepreneurs? Because you interviewed so many of them.
Yes,
which thread was the most prevalent?
Well, I think two that kind of relate to each other, I believe. And one is being able to deal with failure. Because very few of these ideas, if you read when you're reading the book, was the person probably instantly successful. You know,
mm-hmm.
things didn't always work out like they may have initially thought or may have gone in the direction they initially thought. But it's dealing with something that didn't work out right and learning how to adjust and move on
mm-hmm.
instead of taking that as a failure and stopping. And I think, and a lot of these people started dealing with things like that and learning about that in childhood. And it was something that always interested me to talk to them about is, you know, what did you do as a kid that may have affected you to become an entrepreneur? And I think it also has something to do, and it's affected me and how I think about raising my daughter. You know, kids need to learn to fail because
mm-hmm.
that's how you learn. And learn also that it's okay to fail. You know, we don't want to be helicopter parents where our children fail for the first time when they're 23 and then it's devastating to them. You know, you need to learn to fail, and it's not devastating. That's a learning experience. And from that we grow. And
mm-hmm.
we learn that maybe that's not the right direction, so we're just going to adjust it here. It's not the end. It's a correction. And I think that, along with problem solving, seem to me to be really common threads, people that can think through things and problem solve and go on to plan B and C and D and E if they need to, because they believe so passionately in their product or their company.
Well, I really feel that your book, A Cup of Cappuccino for the Entrepreneur's Soul, is such a valuable book. Because when you did the interviews, each and every individual told their story in their own way. Each and every story has its own flavor. But more importantly, they summed up those particular components, just as you've done with the two points of failure and problem solving. And that was within some of the stories. But what they did was emphasize what they felt was so important for them to be able to reach a point of success. And one of the things that I found that was throughout the whole book was the understanding that you never get there.
Mm-hmm.
You can set your goals. You can set all kinds of objectives. you may or may not get to them. Setting that is very important. But things can shift. Technology can change. You can have a natural catastrophe. All kinds of things can affect your life. But it's just what you said a moment ago. What you are going to do with what life hands you. And I think in that respect, that is so empowering, whether someone wanted to be an entrepreneur or not, if they were working for an entrepreneur. It would give them an insight into the thinking process. And I think that's something that for many people, they've not been on what I call both sides of the fence. Maybe they've been an employee all of their life, and they see things from one perspective. But it sure is different when you shift from being that employee that works so many hours a day and having a boss that is expecting you to do certain things, to go over to the other side of the fence, become the boss, the one that has to be able to work with all of the variables and hire, perhaps, employees. It's a wonderful gift when you can be on both sides of that fence because you can really have a good understanding of all of the different variables that can occur. At least have a good perspective of them. You may not know all of them because nobody ever knows all of them that can happen to you, but it really does make a difference.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, and Holly Green's story in the book is an example of that, where she was an employee and she talks about getting frustrated sometimes with the pace of her company or things that were done, and then once she had her own company, she thought back to, well, now I'm that boss.
Right.
And she could see clearly the other side of it. So I think that you're right. And I've had a lot of people tell me who have read the book that may not, be entrepreneurs, have definitely said that it's given them value just in general, that there's a lot of great stories that have really influenced them in their thinking, whether they're starting a company or not.
One of the great things about the United States has always been the fact that people came in from all over and still are coming in from all over the world because this has been considered the land of opportunity. And if you are willing to work, if you are willing to learn, you have a chance of owning your own business or owning a piece of land somewhere that you can call your own. And this is, for many people around the world, something that is literally impossible for them to ever achieve, depending on mm-hmm. what their own cultural environment may be, their educational level. And again, just watching what I was watching on a program earlier today, there was nothing for hundreds of miles around this one part of the world in this one little community. And you looked at them and you go, they don't even know what's going on in XYZ. Here are these people surviving. They're right on the edge of starvation. And that's one of the reasons why this country has been so special, because you do have the opportunity, if you want, to stick your neck out and to try something. And if you fail, just like you said earlier, okay, so you learn maybe something about what you're not good at, but what could you be good at? And that opportunity is there for you. And that's what, to me, is so special about being able to do that, to be able to be that entrepreneur. I remember interviewing somebody when I was in Russia, and they said, there's something very unique about you Americans. It seemed to be born with this feeling that you have the right to try. You have the right to go out and to do what you feel you can possibly do. And here in Russia, we don't have that feeling. We don't feel like we have that right at all. In fact, it's just the opposite. We really are challenged when that opportunity comes up. And I thought when I heard that, that was such a profound statement. And that's what we represent around the world. And I think that's one of the many gifts that your book gives. Not just the insights into what goes on in the business environment with all of these wonderful people that you interviewed, but also the fact that if you have the courage to reach out to challenge, to accept a challenge, to try a new idea, you're really a very special breed unto yourself. And that's something to be proud of, not something to be afraid of.
I agree. And kind of on that same track, I think one thing that's very interesting to me, when we were talking about women now starting businesses at a faster rate, you know, one thing that's been tough for women is the glass ceiling. Well, when women are starting their own businesses, guess what? There's no, you know, there's no more.
One.
Yeah, we can stop talking, you know, stop spending so much time worrying about that glass ceiling that we have to break in a man's company, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we can go start companies and create our own ceilings.
Well,
or not.
That's well said. That is very well said. Because women many times do create their own ceilings because they have adopted perceptions or understandings, but they are also aware that they don't have to be stuck in the same paradigms that perhaps those male patternings had. And it really is a wonderful example because I know of men that thoroughly enjoy working for their women bosses.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also known women bosses that weren't worth 50 cents as far as I'm concerned. But it's the fact that there doesn't need to be the war between the sexes as far as I'm concerned. And that's what, in the entrepreneurial environment, that pretty much levels out. I mean, there's really an appreciation, at least in the environments that I've been in. If a man has seen a woman and she has become successful, there's an acknowledgement here because it's hard work. It's not something that you just add, you know, a super sugary mix, a little bit of water, stir it up, swallow it, and by golly, you're there. No way. Most of them have worked for years to get to what they've accomplished.
Yes. Yes, it really does level the playing field. And I think, you know, another, you know, really interesting thing to me is, you know, sometimes people have worked at companies for years, and really the highest rate of people who start companies as far as age is concerned is 55 to 64.
Mm-hmm.
And a new Kaufman report that just came out said that right now African Americans and older Americans have the greatest increases in the business creation rates from 2008 to 2009. So the more people do get involved in, you know, starting their own ventures and believing in themselves and believing in their own ideas, we can, you know, start taking down some of those things like the glass ceiling.
I agree. And one thing that I want to add about your book is that if any of my listeners have young people, junior high, actually I'd start them in grade school, that maybe you've got one of these kids that will go out and sell Girl Scout cookies and they just do great, or they like being involved in their church activities or in various community activities. Reading them stories about people like this, and your book is great for this, just picking a story and say, hey, let's share a story about someone that became very successful. How do you feel about it? Sharing this with kids, it's important because it encourages their resourcefulness. We'll go right back to the beginning of what we started off with. It encourages them to realize that it's okay to fail. They can fail. And when that happens, you just say, all right, now how do I make this work for me? How can I turn it into something useful? And I don't care whether you're talking about a sports figure or you're talking about people who run, you know, a multi-billion dollar company. There's always going to be challenges along the way. And your book, I think, would be great to share with young people so that they would have an idea of some of the variables that possibly they could be exposed to. And I know that there are groups that are starting up. The Junior Achievement was a wonderful organization, still is a great organization to teach young people financial responsibility. But my goodness, we've got an older generation. They're starting up, just like you said, 55 and older, because they're still healthy and they're taking better care of themselves, and so they're looking at 70, and 70 is the new 40.
Yep. And think of what a huge market that is, and people who are of that age know what other people like them would, what products they would need, what things that they would enjoy, and, you know, with the baby boomers, that's a huge market.
Oh, it's a massive market. Well, I'll tell you, Cindy, you've done a wonderful job with this book, A Cup of Cappuccino for the Entrepreneur's Soul. What is your website?
It is www.acupofcappuccino.com. And Jaretta Horn-Nord started the book series. and I wrote Volume 2. And she just has the women's version that's coming out in June. There'll be a kickoff of that book at the Barnes & Noble in New York. So we're very excited about the book series. That'll be the third book, and then I'm going to have a fourth book come out later this year that's going to be on mompreneurs, moms who are entrepreneurs. So I'm currently looking for those stories as well and in the process of starting to interview people. So there's a place where people can contact me on the website if they might have a great mom entrepreneur story that they would like to talk to me about.
Well, you're going to have to send me a copy of the third one that's coming out in June.
Okay, I sure will.
I would just be delighted because this one was just absolutely excellent. And I'm just so pleased that you were able to be my guest today. A cup of cappuccino for the entrepreneur's soul. If you are one of those individuals that really, really is chomping at the bit saying, I need to do something that I can really, really be in charge of, really want to be on my own with, this is a must-read book. And if you want to inspire your kids or maybe even a friend, get the book, A Cup of Cappuccino for the Entrepreneur's Soul. Go to acupofcappuccino.com and you'll find out more information. They've got two new books coming out. Cindy, thank you again for being
thank
my guest
you.
Today.
Thank you
it's
so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Don't go away. We're going to be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open. Give me a call at 888-815-9756 if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. And if you're a first-time listener, we're so delighted that you've been able to join us today. If you'd like to give me a buzz, all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, sit back, relax. Of course, I always like to know where you're calling from. And let me tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that is of significant interest to you. So again, the toll-free number is 888-815-9756. Also, for those of you listening, remember, if you've got a paranormal story, whether it's an out-of-body, I don't care if it has to do with animals, sea ghosts, whatever your experience is, I'd love to have your story. I'm giving myself a year to do this, I'm putting together a book that is going to have stories from people like you about experiences that they have had that have affected their lives dramatically. It could be about dreams, anything else, but I'd like to hear your particular story. The reason I'm wanting to put this book together is so that other people will have a chance to see that they're not abnormal because of what they're experiencing. And this is something that I feel the more we can talk about, the more we can interact with, it is going to assist us as far as being able to share it, but also assist other people that maybe this is a brand new experience for them. And it's like anything, the more you can talk about it and be comfortable with the paranormal, the more you find it's not extraordinarily unusual. It actually is quite a commonplace experience. It just manifests itself in a myriad of different ways. So if you want to send me your story, send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna at Delphi, D-E-L-P-H-I, International.com. Okay, and give me a buzz if you want to chat, 888-815-9756. Tomorrow, my guest is going to be Gary Reswig, and his book is called The Thousand Mile Stair. This book, when I got it, was just absolutely very moving, and when I read it, I thought, I am going to really enjoy having Gary as a guest. If you know of anybody that's gone through Alzheimer's, dealing with it, whether it's a member of your own family or someone that's very close to you, this is a must read. And this gentleman is just phenomenal in the way he expressed the information. So tomorrow we're going to be talking about that, and I invite you to join us to do that. Let's go to our first caller for the day, first name or initial. Where are you also calling from?
Jay Fullerton.
I'm sorry,
Jay Fullerton.
Jay out of Fullerton, California?
Yes.
All right. Well, welcome to the show. Jay, the first thing that I'm looking at with you is a lot of pressure. When I'm watching you, I feel like someone has put me in a corset that is around my chest. And it's as if somebody's pulling those strings so tightly that I feel sometimes like I can hardly breathe. I really feel that you have to learn how to let stress go. And I don't know whether it might be like a friend of mine used to do. She used to scrub floors. It might be taking a walk around the block. It might just be going into meditation, doing deep breathing. It could be laying down and taking a nap. Whatever it takes, you need to break the cycle because you have a tendency to absorb your stress and internalize it, and it's as if it's choking you. And when I say choking, I'm feeling this pressure all around my rib cage, and it goes up into my upper part of my chest, up into my throat. And also, I think sometimes there are things that you want to say and you are not able to get your words out. I'd love for you to consider joining a group like Toastmasters where you would learn how to express yourself verbally and feel at ease in front of other people, because so much of your life in the coming years is going to be involving communication on a very intense level that I want you to be at ease with your capacity for communication. You're a highly intuitive individual, highly intuitive, but this concerns me because I don't feel any relaxation from this tension. And again, it's just like I've got a tight corset around my upper torso. So I'd like to see you take some deep breaths, just relax, and let that tension out of you. Do you have a question for me?
Yes, I do, and that relates to my question. How do I trust that the rumors about my health does not follow me to a job in another part of the state or out of the state? I'm just a little torn on some information that has been leaked from a past car accident I had that affected me physically, which now I'm fine. But and that's exactly true. I have a difficult time expressing how to deal with this in work environments, and so I was trying to get some insight.
Okay,
that.
Dear, let me see if I can help you. First, I don't think you need to be that worried about it.
Okay.
Unless you were doing really heavy physical work. Let's say you wanted to work in a warehouse and were lifting 100-pound bags of fertilizer or whatever, then I think you'd have a problem. But
not physically in terms of how I, I'm able to do things physically, but more, I was in a car accident and I hit my head, and
mm-hmm.
it affected, some cognition. I had some problems with that early on, but now I'm fine. And
oh, well,
so
I wouldn't worry about that either. I wouldn't worry about that either.
Okay.
And the reason I say it is, if someone has quote unquote leaked the information, just tell the truth. I say, yes, it was a concussion. It was this kind of a situation. I mean, anybody that has ever been, you know, in sports and they've been hit in the head or, you know, gone through some kind of an impact, they know that can happen and you're fine. Don't try to, you know, you don't need to embellish anything. You just need to say, yes, I had an accident. Yes, there was a problem. There's not a problem today. And if you'd like to talk to my doctor, you can do that. Just keep it sweet and simple. You don't need to get all tied up in knots about this. I know that in today's world that confidentiality is often violated. But I think you just need to be at peace with this. And you need to be all right with the fact that you did have that kind of a problem. And that you're not going to put yourself in an environment where you're going to be subjected to another health, you know, another head injury or anything like that. You want to just say, this is what, just what it is. And move on. What kind of work do you want to do? What kind of work are you looking for?
I work in healthcare. I'm in the physical therapy arena.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say that you just look at where you want to be in that arena of healthcare and just consider that for all of what you went through, there's a lot of hidden blessings because you really can have an empathy with people that have gone through physiological challenges like that. And you know what it's like for them. And you also know what it's like to be able to recuperate from it.
Yes.
And I would say start educating yourself, too, on what they are discovering with physical therapy and with any kind of head injury that has occurred, that many times people, by doing certain physical exercises, by being involved in computer games and various things, the brain has a phenomenal capacity for recuperation.
Yes.
So
I think
that. So, yes, I mean, I can tell you that for a fact because I had a very dear friend who was in an automobile accident. The impact was so severe. She and an associate were hit in a car by teenage girls that were just heavily intoxicated on an icy road, and they were traveling at like almost 100 miles an hour when they hit their car. And this woman's head, she was bounced around like a ping pong ball inside of the vehicle with that kind of an impact. And her brain literally was squashed up against the inside of her skull, all on one side. They did not think that this woman was ever, ever going to be able to speak, was ever going to do anything. Well, I can tell you, and she was in her 60s when this happened. Not only did she come back from that, but she was amazing. Now, it took her about a year. I mean, this is extremely severe. But the brain did come back. She got her full physical functioning and everything. So I just think that you have, in many ways, an empathy now that is going to serve you well in the very industry that you want to be a part of.
Okay. Thank you so much. That's exactly what I needed to hear. I do have challenges with communication, and I've just been internalizing it, just like you said, and it's been making me very stressed because I'm very frustrated. But I have never, because I don't work in one particular facility, I work for a registry company, so I travel mm-hmm. from, you know, I'll go into maybe one or two places, different places a week. And it just feels like I'm going from, you know, one place to another. I'm constantly getting these nonverbal messages and the jokes about head injuries and this and that and the other. And I haven't said anything. I'm a very
You need to not be the long-suffering person here. You need to be able to find some jokes of your own and lighten up with this and move on, because you're an example of the positive that other people can achieve.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Oh, it's my pleasure, dear. I hope you can join us again.
I will.
Wonderful. Thank you for calling in. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break for a minute. When we come back, I know of a local restaurant that serves magnificent Chinese salads. What are they? It's a Chinese orange salad, oriental salad. Well, I've got a recipe for you that I think will beat theirs, and it could save you a lot of dollars. You could make it on your own. When we come back, I'll share that recipe with you. And, again, you can give me a call at 888-815-9756. We're going to be right back.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756 is the toll-free number. Okay, here's the recipe for a Chinese chicken salad. Oops, we've got a caller. Keep that pad of paper and pen handy. We are going to get right to this caller, and then I'll give you the recipe. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
From New York, FL.
FL from New York. Where? New York City?
New York, Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. One day I hope to be in Brooklyn. I've gotten to New York City, but not to Brooklyn itself. Okay, FL, let me give you some information. First, stop worrying about the money, because you're going to be just fine. But secondly, there is some kind of an event that is coming up where you and some other people are going to be working together and perhaps putting together decorations, taking care of invitations. This is a very, very big event. So I don't know if this is a special guest that's coming in, but there's a whole bunch of people that you're going to be working with. And there may be a couple of individuals that get rather bossy, that like to tell everybody else how they should do what they should do. And I think if you all have just a good sense of humor, you're going to be able to weather this. And you shouldn't get upset or angry with these people. Just say, look, you do what you do, I'll do what I have to do, and then everything's going to work out just fine. But keeping a good sense of humor is very important. This is a year where, my goodness, there are so many people that you know of that are going through so many challenges. health challenges, family challenges. I mean, it's just one thing right after the other. And you feel like you're having to play the role of counselor to so many of them. But that's okay. You're a good listener. And all you need to do is just really listen carefully to what they have to say. And I think more than anything else, they just want to talk. They really don't need you to tell them what to do, because I think they pretty much are going to be able to figure that out on their own. But I think just being a good listener is going to be very meaningful to them, but it will also be a lot less stressful for you, because you have a tendency to internalize everything inside of you. Goodness, this seems to be a day for people just keeping everything inside. But I want you to realize that through art, through painting, or something that has to do with texture or textiles, working, maybe sewing, doing something like this, that helps you to release a lot of tension or stress. It seems like when you paint, when you're working in art in some way, shape, or form, it enables you to relax. You like working with your hands. So it's something that is a very good tool for you to keep in the back of your mind if you find yourself really getting very, very stressed out. But remember, you don't need to fix other people's problems. Just be a good listener, and things will work out pretty well for you. What's on your mind? What did you want to ask me?
Yeah, I would like to ask if my daughter going to interview, she will find a job easier.
Your daughter, what kind of work is she looking for?
School psychology.
All right. Is she wanting to do it in New York, or is she open to any area on the East Coast?
New York.
All right.
Only New York.
If she wants to do it in New York, she's going to be needing to look at some other work before she'll get the work at the school. There is going to be a school position that I believe is going to be opening up in about 9 months. So that would take her into next year. But it's going to be very difficult to find a position. If she wants to do herself a favor, she will look for other work as well so that she gets some experience and, for all intents and purposes, you know, having a level of apprenticeship, for the lack of a better term, that she is able then to take with her. There is going to be a school positioning. To me, it looks like it's in a college level. I honestly can't tell whether it's a junior college or a regular four-year college level or a university. I'm not getting that clarity. But I'm looking at a positioning within a school environment, but I don't see the positioning even opening up for about 9 months.
Oh.
Now, has she just graduated from school, or has she been working as a psychologist?
Finished her master.
So she just completed her master's degree?
Yeah, complete, yeah.
How old is she?
She's 28.
All right, if she's 28, I would encourage her to look for something else with another firm that will give her some working experience. And I'd still put in the applications for the position that she wants within the school system. Now, did she want to be a school psychologist for, let's say, elementary school? Did she want a junior high school, college, junior college?
Elementary school.
That's going to be a real tough one.
Tough one, yeah. She's doing the internship this year already, a year almost finished,
Well, it's going to be a tough one because there's not a lot of those positionings available. But I am seeing her working, having a full-time position with an organization that after she works with them, it's like it gives her even more credibility. And then eventually she'll be within a school system.
Yes.
Now, is she looking both at private or just public?
Public, because she has to do public above education. Yeah, she has to.
Well, it might be through a private school that she's going to be able to get a positioning. So I think she needs to look at both.
Yeah, she needs to pay them back. She's using their tuition, money for tuition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. But another thing, can I ask?
I'm out of time, dear. I'm not going to be able to continue. I'm sorry.
Next time, then. All
yes. All
thank
right.
You so much.
Thank you, FL. My goodness, the hour went by just
have
like the
nice
wind.
Evening.
Thank you so much, dear. Yes,
all
thank
right.
you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Tomorrow, we'll be right back here on BBS Radio, same time, same place. This is Donna. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.